Well, good evening. Appreciate you all being here. A lot of people gone this weekend, but we're here. Gonna show you some passages, and I want you to consider the question, what do the following passages have in common? I think there are five of them. I'll just show them to you, and we'll go through them, and then we'll come back and talk about them. First one is Matthew 12:4, how he, David, entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone. That's a question. Next passage. In the law, that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent. Another question. Take a gander at them and consider, what do these two have in common? He who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. What does this passage have in common with the previous two passages? Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies you have prepared praise for yourself. This one also has the same thing in common with the three previous passages. And this one, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Who knows, who wants to guess what these five passages have in common? They were each preceded by a question Jesus asked. And the question was, have you not read? Isn't that an interesting question? And so he's talking about all five of these things, and that's the question he started with before he made the statements that he did in each of these texts. Have you not read? What's the implication of that question? What do you feel like it's implying? They should have read what he was telling them, because he was quoting from them his own word, the word of God, quoting the scriptures that they should have known, should have read. I don't know if that's what he meant to imply, but it sure seems that way to me. Have you not read these things? And then he quotes to them the very things that they should have read. Here's another one. I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Another statement that he precedes with the question, have you not read this? And every time he asks that question, he quotes a passage of scripture and then makes the application. Each of the above passages follows Jesus asking the question, have you never read? Ooh. I found this in one of the secret pages of the Bible. This is the test that we have to take before we get into heaven. Let's see how we do. Do you know the books of the Bible? Now, you don't have to raise your hand or anything. Can you start at Genesis and go through Revelation? Can you name all of the apostles? Some of them are really famous and pretty easy, but there's others. And then you think about the gospel writers. How many of the gospel writers were actually apostles? Can you identify three parables? Quick. Name three parables real quick. This is kind of a challenge because they don't necessarily come with titles. We just know there's a parable about this and a parable about that, but can you think of three parables? How many of the tribes of Israel can you name? Is there a tribe of Joseph? There's your research question for next week. How many of the kings? Oh, man, those guys, really? I hope that's not on the question to get into heaven, because they all sound so much alike, so very similar. Locate three examples of conversion. Now, this is a very practical skill to have, or ability to have, to be able to find three examples of conversion, because if you ever get an opportunity to talk to somebody about the gospel and what they need to do to save themselves, this is very helpful to be able to say, hey, turn over here and let's look at what these people did for salvation. Can you find three examples? Can you name three judges of Israel? Anybody remember who the first one was? I can remember the first one. Are you giggling because you know Amy? No, no, she's, no, I'm not supposed to know that. I'm just Amy. The first one was Othniel. You know how I remember that? Oatmeal. It sounds like oatmeal. That's what you have at the beginning of the day. So the first judge is Othniel. Sounds like oatmeal. And there's Ehud, the left-handed dagger jabber. How can you forget Ehud, the left-handed dagger jabber? Anyway, what's the judge everybody probably remembers? Samson. Yeah. Or Sam? Did you say Samuel or Samson?
Samuel.
Samuel was the first. Good one. If I had a gold star, I'd give it to you, Harold. Can you find the Sermon on the Mount? That's one text of Scripture that has so much practical spiritual teaching. And, okay, I'm going to use a word I don't like. It would behoove, I hate that word. It's a good word, I just don't like it. It just sounds kind of creepy. But it behooves each one of us to know where the Sermon on the Mount is, because there's so much good, practical, applicable information there. But if you find the Sermon on the Mount, you'll be way ahead of finding the Lord's Prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. It's also sometimes called the Model Prayer, because it's what Jesus gave his apostles when they asked him to teach them how to pray. So can you find that? Do you know where that is? Where's the famous chapter about love? If you have been to a wedding and you don't know where the famous chapter in the Bible is about love, who knows where it is? 1 Corinthians 13, there you go. Any passage on the Lord's Supper, can you find any passage? Would you know where to go to talk to somebody about what the meaning of the Lord's Supper is? Three women of the Bible. Three women. Which reminds me of the question, how many angels are there named in the Bible? And I always like to say, what's one? What's one named angel? Michael and Gabriel. Okay. There's a third one. Harold. You know this one. Hark, Harold, angel sings. All right, I just thought I'd throw that out so you didn't get, anyway. But three women of the Bible. Can you name three women in the Bible? Any passage about the judgment day. Can you locate a passage to talk to somebody about what the Bible says concerning the judgment day, the final coming of Christ? These are just random questions. And here's the last one. If you're a parent or a grandparent, what is a passage out of the Bible that you really want your children or grandchildren to know? I think these are significant questions. Some of them are what we call rote, like the names of the apostles, the names of the kings, the judges, those kind of listy things. The one that is extremely helpful, though, is rote knowledge of the location of the books of the Bible in our English Bible, because if you're looking for a particular book, you're listening to a sermon. The sermon says go to 2 Hezekiah. You need to go where, if you know where 2 Hezekiah is. Yeah, everybody knows 2 Hezekiah is right after 1 Hezekiah. So if you can find 1 Hezekiah, you see what I'm doing here. Now here's the thing. If you didn't get many of these, you might be thinking, oh, that's horrible. I don't know anything about the Bible. But you get out a piece of paper and you write down your own list of questions. And what you'll be doing is probably writing a list of questions that you already know the answer to. And I think you'll be surprised how much you do know about the Bible. You know stuff. I know you do. Because when I ask questions, I get responses. And you're here. You wouldn't be here if there weren't things out of the Scriptures that you didn't know that were encouraging and valuable enough to convince you to be here to worship with God's people. So you know some Scripture. Here's some things we have to help us be good students of the Word of God. First of all, we've got time. We've got more leisure time today than probably any culture in history. I couldn't prove that, But I really think that's true. I'm pretty sure it's true because everywhere I go, I don't have mine, but if I had a phone, this is what I'd be doing. Because everywhere I go, that's what I see people doing, staring at their phones. If we've got time to stare at our phones, anybody know what the Blue Letter Bible is? It's an app that you can have on your phone. You can read your Bible while you're staring at your phone. And then when somebody says, what are you doing staring at your phone all the time? You can say, I'm reading the Word of God. What are you doing? Time. We've got time. We've got comfortable places to study. We've got air conditioning. We've got lights. Flip a switch and you've got plenty of light. You've got padded chairs. Anything you need to make yourself comfortable, we've got it. We've even got coffee. Thank the Lord. We have coffee. See, there's another appreciator of coffee over there. By the way, do you know how to make tea just as good as coffee? You pour out the tea and pour in some coffee. And we have the means to write. There are a lot of jokes these days about cursive writing, but most of us grew up in school learning how to write cursively. And if you don't want to write cursively, you can print. But if you don't want to write cursively or print, you can type things out on a keyboard so easily. We've got all kinds of ways to write. We can take notes in so many different ways. I've got a thing on my phone. You've got it too. It's called Notes. You can pull it up on your phone and make notes right there on your phone. I'm telling you this because I want you to know when I'm staring at my phone, it's always for a good reason. I'm never wasting time staring at my phone. So, but you can do that. Concordances. You know what a concordance is? That's a book that has every word of the Bible listed, and every time it's used in the scripture, and you can, you pick a word like angel, say, we were talking about angels, you can look up the word angel, and the concordance will show you every place in the Bible where the word angel is used. And then you want plural, go angels, and you can go see where every plural listing of the word angels is used. And every word in the Bible is like that in a concordance. It's easy to find things if you know some of the words in a passage. Commentaries. Some of them, I like to say the Greek word for some commentaries is baloney. But there are a lot of good commentaries out there. And one of the ways you find the baloney is to do your own research and look at solid commentators and always do some comparison. Don't ever take any one man's word for anything. But before you go to the commentaries, do your own study. Please, do your own study. Exhaust every way you have to find knowledge before you go to the commentaries. But commentaries can be very helpful. Study guides. Anybody have a Haley's Bible Handbook? That's one of the best resources I've ever found. It's like the Reader's Digest version of a Bible commentary, and it's very helpful. I don't think I've ever found anything in Halley's that I disagree with, and there are several of those out there. Translations. If you find yours too difficult to read, you can probably do a little research online and find a translation that's much easier to read. There's a New International Version, the English Standard Bible, the New American Standard, got the King James, the New King James. Apps, Bible apps, mention Blue Letter Bible. That's another app that's very helpful. Then you get online and you've got all these websites. I think that's one of the next ones here, websites. All these things that can help us do some study. We've got access to maps, videos, photos, podcasts. I'm not quite sure what a podcast is. I think they take a bunch of peas and fling them out somewhere, but we've got all these resources to help us study. Why study the Bible? No other book has been so influential in the entire world. Of all the books in the world, no book has been as influential, and especially as influential for good, as the Bible. It deserves to be studied. No other book has played a greater role in the foundation of our nation than the Bible. No other book. No other book can lead you to what is beyond this life while helping you live the best life possible now. You want to live a good life now? Study your Bible. Do what it says, and you'll have the best life you could possibly have. There's no better way to live a good life here. And the words of God's book will lead you to eternity. It's God's word. There is no other book that can make that claim. It is the Word of God. That's a good reason, probably the best reason, to study the Bible. How to study. Here's a few tips, I guess we'll call them, if you need them. Get a Bible you enjoy reading with large margins. I picked this one out long ago because it's about the right size, and it's big enough to have print big enough and still leave some room in the margins. I can write notes over here, and this sounds very subjective, and it is, but when I look at it, the way it's laid out on the page, it's aesthetically appealing. That means it's attractive to my eye. I can look at this and I can, that's not confusing. That's not too much information. That makes sense the way it's laid out. You'll have a different idea about what that is. I've got some study Bibles that have so many notes in them. It's like, where'd they put the scriptures in here? I got all these notes. And those notes might be helpful, but they distract me from the scriptures themselves. And so I'm not crazy about those. Get a Bible you enjoy reading with large margins. Why large margins? Because you want to make notes. There's nothing disrespectful about writing in your Bible when you're writing to help you understand it better and remember better. Get pen and paper. Go somewhere where you can buy a good pen and get a couple of different pens if you don't know how well they write. Experiment with them. Find a pen that you enjoy picking up to write. Have you ever picked up a pen and you knew when you picked it up, this thing's going to skip and I'm going to have to do this several times to make, throw that thing in the trash. Life is too short to use a pen that's junk. Get yourself a good quality pen or a whole pack of good quality pens, and as soon as it starts skipping, throw it in the trash and get another one. Get good quality paper, not something that when you make a mark on it, you can hold it up to the light and everybody from three counties can see that mark. Get some good paper. Get a quality set of colored markers and transparent 6-inch ruler. If you need more information about that, there's the lady to ask sitting right there, Rhonda Bella. She holds classes on this. You need markers that are not going to necessarily bleed through the page of your Bible and that won't swell when you make a little line. You don't want the ink to swell out and spread. You want a nice, clean, beautiful, colored line and a 6-inch ruler that's transparent. When you make your lines, you need to be able to see what's under that ruler. Nothing's profound about any of this, but it's helped me immeasurably in my Bible study. Make notes in the margins with a good quality fine point pen. Secure a good concordance. Remember I mentioned concordances a while ago. Get a good one. Strong's exhaustive. There you go. It exhausts me saying it. Is a good quality concordance. Problem is it's keyed to the King James. It's not bad, but get yourself a good concordance. Pick a Bible book or a topic in which you have interest. Don't do this thing where, okay, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, that's what I'm going to study. Okay, I'm on Psalm 26. That's a good psalm. Everything you find is going to be good, but find something you really have an interest in. Think about it. Give some time praying about it. Ask the Lord, what should I study? And give some thought to that. Pick something you have an interest in. Commit some time. Don't say, whenever I get a chance. Whenever I get a chance usually means never. But make some time. Make some time for your Bible study. Find a quiet place where you're not going to have any distractions. If that means turning off your phone or putting your phone in another room or putting it in the car and locking it up or going to your car with your phone in the house and sit in your car and study, whatever it takes, find a place you're comfortable. You can study without distractions. If you're studying a book or a letter of the Bible, first assume that everything written is important. I used to think, oh, those genealogies, what God even put those in there? I can't even pronounce these names. And now I know those were proof to the first Jews who read it that it was all legit. And if I understand those names, then I'm going to see how God has worked down through the centuries to bring to light the salvation for mankind through his son. It's great. Just because you don't see importance in it now doesn't mean you won't discover importance in it later. It's like teaching your children how to eat vegetables. even broccoli. Read several chapters of a book or a letter, if not the whole thing, if it's within reason to read the whole thing, just so you get a handle on the gist of it before you start looking for details. Get a general scope of what it's about by reading a good amount of it. Look for reoccurring words. Look for reoccurring phrases. Look for anything that the writer seems to be coming back to. Any concept, any idea. When they continually mention these things, make a note of that and look for them all the more. Note time references. In Ezekiel starts out in the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's exile. And then there are other time references based on that, so you can get an idea. Oh, this the one we noted this morning was a 22-year disparity between one of those references and the other. So his work of prophecy spanned at least 22 years. Note place references. And sometimes things like they went up to Jerusalem. Why does it say they went up to Jerusalem? Because where they started was at a lower elevation. And you'll never find anything like that in the Bible that's inaccurate. Every time it says going up, they're actually going up. Get a topographical map and check it out. It's always accurate. Keep a list of the places mentioned. That's an interesting study. Just go through a gospel and see the first place you see where Jesus is, and then go to the next, keep reading until you find the next place where he is, and you'll find out he went all over the place. And he didn't have a car. It's very revealing. Keep a list of individuals mentioned. When you read through a letter, you think, well, he just was writing to the church about these things. He didn't really talk about any people. And then you go back and you look at, oh, yeah, he did mention this guy and that girl. When you read the last chapter of Romans, Paul mentions no fewer than 9 women who were integrally, very importantly, intimately involved in the work of the church. He puts names down. Note anything that piques your interest. You see something, hey, that's different, that's unusual. I remember Steve and I were talking years ago about a passage in Ecclesiastes that God had put eternity in our hearts. Isn't that an interesting turn of phrase? How do you do that? How do you put eternity in someone's heart? And yet Solomon said that's what God did. State the author's purpose or point in your own words. Read, study well enough so that when you're done, you have a grasp on what you think the author was talking about. Put it in your own words. How to study a Bible topic. Look up references to it in your concordance if possible. For example, camels. Study about camels. How many different kinds of camels are there? Well, there's the filtered and the unfiltered. Okay. By the way, don't smoke those things. My grandpa smoked them and he died from emphysema. That was back a long time ago before people really knew about stuff like that. I'll just throw this in. There was a time, I've got a CD I bought of old radio shows. And on these radio shows, they advertised cigarettes for about 5 minutes using health facts, how good cigarettes were for you. And this is back in the day before filters. 3 T's, taste, tongue, and throat. And cigarettes should be smoked because they're good for your taste and your tongue and your throat. Why did I bring that up? Because ignorance can kill you. It's true in the physical realm. It's certainly true in the spiritual realm. Inform yourself. I don't know that there's ever been a generation before us that has as much opportunity to inform itself about the Word of God. Research each reference, making comparisons and observations. Use cross references if your Bible provides them. Somebody once said, and I fully agree with them, the Bible is its own best commentary. You can buy a commentary of the Bible, but if you read the Bible enough, you'll find out that the Bible comments on itself. State conclusions about your observations in your own words. It's very important to put things in your own words. That forces you to come to a conclusion and to decide, what does this really mean? And I think that's the last one. Oh, here we go. Talk to God about what you've read, and then practice what he teaches in the book. If we don't do this last one, everything else is pointless. Everything else is pointless. I remember in high school, I was a band geek. I wasn't on the football team because it took too much time from squirrel hunting. So I was in the band. And we practiced and we practiced and we practiced. Oh man, what are we doing all this practicing for? And it felt like some of it just seems pointless. And then you get out on the football field at the halftime show and you know what you're doing without even thinking about it. That's why practice is important. That's why familiarity makes a difference. Practice what God teaches you to do, and then that's when, and Jesus even said this in John 7:17. He said, if you want to know whether or not the things I'm teaching you are from God, just do them. And that's proven true for me for years. All right, that's the lesson for tonight. How much time did that take? I don't know. We're going to have to bring home the bacon. Y'all got any bacon for Cade? I hope so. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. There may be somebody here tonight who'd like to obey the gospel. That'd be great if you do. Maybe you've been studying the way we've been talking about studying to the point where you know what you need to do and you're ready to do that. Or maybe you need the prayers of this congregation. But we're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement for you, whoever you are, who needs the help from this church. Let's stand and sing now.